Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time streaming or downloading the program, Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference or are just trying to make life in the royal city more interesting. From previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean, or you can subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Today I talked to Jason Hammond, the president of the new sustainable transportation system, Root. That's Root with a W. Root just started running its fleet of Tesla SUVs between Kitchener and Guelph all day, every day, for the price of $40. You can take a round trip from Fairview Park Mall and back to Guelph again in style. It's not exactly the regional transit we need, but might it be the inspiration that leads to more of that transit? The difficulties of commuting to one town over is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. It was about this time last year that Greyhound cut service between Guelph and Kitchener. Yes, they still run several routes a day between Guelph Central Station and the Charles Street Terminal in downtown Kitchener, but it's hardly convenient if you have to get there first thing in the morning for work, or if you want to stay late and enjoy the Kitchener nightlife. Go transit, you ask? Well, if you want to get to Kitchener on a GO bus, you can transfer at the Aberfoyle Park and Ride and wait for an hour. I mean, there's lots to do around the Aberfoyle Park and Ride, right? No, of course there isn't. Getting to Kitchener, not to mention Waterloo, Hamilton, Niagara, or London, is very, very difficult if you can't hop in a car. And forget about Cambridge, which is a 10-minute drive between the edge of both of our cities. There's actually no direct public transit route to get there. City staff, political candidates, and council members have promised for years to find a way to get some kind of cooperation between our own Guelph Transit and Grand River Transit, but nothing ever seems to firmly develop. I know that a lot of you listening to the show are probably going to hate what comes next, but maybe we have to start looking to the private sector, and the private sector enters. The idea of Root began in 2017, and it has finally been realized just a few weeks ago as a fleet of electric Tesla Model X 100Ds started zipping back and forth between Guelph and Kitchener. The company says they are running 1,000 trips a week between Guelph Central Station and Fairview Park Mall, and it has an eye to expand further. But this is not a private industry taking over for transit. On the Root website, Jason Hammond says, "I've been a passenger my whole life. Even after becoming a driver, I still love the freedom of taking a train, bus, or taxi. Root is here to make being a passenger the right choice more often." But can he make that case? We will certainly try on this week's edition of the Guelph Politicast, where I ask Hammond about his inspiration for Root, his business considerations, his plans for expansion to other areas, and why he's selling a luxury transit experience. We also talk about the politics of his company. Is he trying to replace transit? Is he worried about friction between the taxi companies? And how does he see his business fitting in with the local active transportation systems? So I caught up with Jason Hammond by phone from his office in Kitchener. So, Jason Hammond, thank you so much for taking time to talk to me today.
Thank you, Adam.
I guess first, I wanted to talk about your inspiration for Root in terms of why you wanted to start your own shuttle service between Guelph and Kitchener, and maybe why you think, you know, our own transit systems aren't delivering. And maybe we'll save that part. But first, talk about your inspiration for Root.
Sure. The point of Root is to make choosing to be a passenger the right choice more often. I love to be a passenger myself. Even though I can drive, I'm happy to take a train or a bus. And I just wanted to sort out this long-lasting question in my own life of why it's so difficult to get between Waterloo Region and Guelph when our cities are so well connected, you know, on a social or personal basis with our families and our businesses and so on. Why is it so hard? And, you know, we're big fans of all the existing options and we want all of them to prosper, but to do that, we're going to have to build the passenger marketplace up. So right, that's really why we're here.
It's a fascinating question because our political leaders, and I know this is the same for Barry Verbanowicz as it is for Cam Guthrie, and even, you know, down the 401 all the way to John Tory, they're talking about the innovation corridor. But if you're not behind the wheel of your own car, moving up and down the innovation corridor is still a fairly tricky proposition once you get sort of up past Brampton.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite easy to get to Toronto, especially if you're traveling in the, you know, ostensibly right direction at the right time. Then, you know, if you're in that majority, they have done the critical work of taking some rush hour traffic off of the peak direction. But to move freely around the communities that we all call home is oddly difficult. And, you know, I don't think it's a failure of anyone. I mean, if you talk to planners on the front lines of all of those service providers, they all know exactly what's needed, and they're all just as excited about seeing it happen. They're just not given the resources to make it come true.
Right. So am I right in gathering that you've done your fair share of sort of advocating, like on a citizen level, you know, trying to get those powers that be to take this step?
Yeah, I've been to more public information centers than I can count. I do like to nerd out about this stuff, but it's really a matter of investment. And when you're spending tax dollars, you have to be really careful about how you do that. So, as a private company, Root can step forward and say, "Here's an example of an investment. Let's see if it works." And hopefully make a show of letting the demand reveal itself.
Well, let's take it from there then. Tell the listeners about Root in terms of what it does and how you can catch a Root and just talk generally about the system, I guess.
Sure. Root is a high-frequency, all-electric passenger service connecting Waterloo Region and Guelph. To accomplish that, we have purchased a fleet of 10 Tesla Model X seven-seat SUVs and hired a few dozen people. And we're going to be running every 15 minutes between the cities, amounting to over 1,000 trips a week with zero emissions.
Okay. When you're talking about Tesla, it's, you know, that's sort of like very top of the line. And, you know, you see the pictures of the cars on social media on your website. It seems like this is, I don't want to say you're kind of rubbing it in the face of like public transit, which unfortunately, you know, still kind of carries with it, you know, sort of a negative sort of feeling of griminess for a lot of people. But this is like a luxury public transit service, almost, just you know, as someone who's sort of looked at the materials.
It is a bit of luxury. I mean, for $20, it's nice to be able to take a ride in a $150,000 vehicle, for sure. But hey, the buses are about $500,000, so you know they have nicer
right.
vehicles than we do. They can carry a lot more people too. But we're big fans of transit. We're here to help try to build them up. So, for example, in Kitchener, our station is at the southernmost end of the new light rail system at Fairway Station.
All right.
And, you know, we're hoping that we'll be feeding a lot of passengers to the LRT and vice versa. You know, there was a study done years ago by the Toronto Transit Commission that showed that a lot of passengers who would never see themselves as a bus rider would take a bus if it connects them to a mode that they feel more comfortable with, like a subway or a streetcar. And because their trip included something they can see themselves using, they were willing to take a bus. So if we can unlock a lot of bus trips because people know, yeah, I'm on a bus right now, but I'm connecting to this Tesla that's going to take me to Guelph, then great, we've created more trips for transit and people can get over their aversion to the bus because it's a pretty excellent utility once you experience it.
Yeah, it's interesting sort of the way the mind works about transit that I guess maybe it's just a freedom of choice. And, you know, when you're talking about the private automobile, you can hop in anywhere, anytime, take off anytime you want. I think the secret and maybe your service route has something to do with that is just, you know, it's about options. It's about frequency. It's about, it's not necessarily about the vehicle itself. It's just about, you know, can I get in and go when I need to go without having to plan or account for, you know, half-hour layovers here or there?
Yeah, one of the philosophies that we keep in mind at Root is that if you choose to drive and other people choose to do the same, your experience gets worse. Mm. But if you choose to be a passenger and others do the same, your experience gets better.
Right.
So being a passenger is the winning side of that equation. So the more we can provide service for people, the more they can use all of the services, and it's really the combination that makes it viable.
Well, I'm interested in learning, you know, how you sort of, I guess, developed Root. I think it's one thing to say, you know, we need something that can make it easier for people to get to and from Guelph or Kitchener. But in terms of your own thinking, your own brainstorming, you know, what can you tell us about how the idea that eventually became Root developed over, you know, however long you've been thinking about it?
Well, I moved here to go to university and have sort of taken these communities on as my home. But that's an important part of it, that to me they are one region. Even though our municipal boundaries are arbitrarily placed on a map, I always felt like, you know, when I was living in Waterloo, I felt like Guelph was as much part of my home territory as Cambridge was. You know, whoever drew the lines on the map surely didn't figure out that we're all, you know, getting back and forth quite often and wanting to get involved in each other's festivals and, you know, go to visit friends and all that kind of stuff. So the municipal boundaries always seemed kind of arbitrary. And I mean, they have to be somewhere, but those boundaries shouldn't really be a barrier to good service. So, I just wanted to see these things come together. I knew that this was a great place to start a business. And when I actually started doing the market research, there's a study out of the University of Toronto that's done every 5 years called Transportation Tomorrow Survey. Mm-hmm. And they measure the trips between all of the municipalities in the Greater Golden Horseshoe. And Kitchener and Guelph stand out as this really robust, 25,000 people a day in each direction. And so they're effectively part of the same home community. They're just, the infrastructure doesn't align with that. So with that much activity, it doesn't take very many people to fill a 6-seat Tesla and make it viable.
So what's the response been like so far? I mean, I've seen a lot of interest on social media. Has the service taken off in the way you've hoped or in the way you've expected?
Yeah, I mean, when we launched, we were very happy. We had, I think, 8 different regional councillors come out to our launch event. We had to be careful. We were actually approaching quorum, so like, no more can come, or we're having a council meeting. And it was fun watching them all race to the car to get their photo taken so they could tweet it out. Both politicians and other community leaders have been really, really excited, and we're really happy to see that. We've been covered in the local press quite a bit, and so I think the response has been really great. There's a lot of people telling us, even among our own vendors, all the business connections we've made in setting things up. Everyone is saying, "Oh yeah, there's a couple people in our office that'll make good use of that."
Okay.
So I think we've hit a good stride with getting people excited.
Okay, I did want to play devil's advocate on a couple of things. I think one of the things people are noted is that, and we've seen this in different small towns in Ontario where they're sort of contracting Uber to sort of take up where a public transit system may not be viable. And I think there's probably a lot of people who may be saying, you know, this sounds great and all, and we like Tesla, and we like electric cars, and we like being mobile, but we're talking about public transit, which is supposed to be the government domain, and you are a private company,
yep.
Which is, you know, going to be fairly interested in your profit margin, of course. So, you know, what can people who are, you know, a bit nervous about, you know, private enterprises like yours getting into the public transit business and... what can you say to their concerns?
Well, as I say, we're big fans of transit, so we're here to build them up. We're not looking to replace any of their trips. We want to make more people choose to be a passenger more often. It's, you know, somewhere under 10% of the population in communities of our size choose to be a passenger. So we want to improve on that and build transit up. You're right that we are a private company, so without that operating subsidy and without that guidance of, you know, that public infrastructure, our priorities are different. We definitely subscribe to the philosophy that you know, the company doesn't exist to make a profit. It makes a profit to exist.
Right.
So we're here to make a difference, and we just have to pay the bills without any support from the tax base. So we'll have to charge whatever it is we have to charge for the trip to function. But on the other hand, you know, we're doing as much as we can to make a difference in the way we run our employment, for example. So all of our drivers are salaried at living wages, and they have permanent full-time jobs that, you know, millennials are allowed to have mortgages too. So we, you know, we're trying to do it right. I think we are doing it right. But yeah, at the end of the day, I would love to see us prove the demand and have our public infrastructure better invested in. I would happily pay a lot more tax to see twice the transit service that we have, but that's not a decision I can make as an individual.
Right.
But starting a business is. So, you know, we're doing what we can.
I guess price point is the other sticking point, and I think people probably hear your arguments and think they're valid. But I think there's also, at least from people I've talked to, criticism that, you know, $20 one way is a lot of money, and a lot of people who take public transit aren't exactly people of means, and they aren't exactly people with, you know, who have, you know, bank accounts and credit cards and Apple Pay and the things you take for payment. I'm not asking you to solve that necessarily quandary, but I mean it is a legitimate criticism that, you know, for people who do need to get around and don't have very many ways to get around, they are shut out of this to an extent.
Exactly. I think it's, you know, you have to move the parts of it that you can move forward. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if we can get a lot more people traveling who can't afford it and choosing to be a passenger, then that'll build up those other passenger services so that at their more affordable rates, they can provide more service. So it's basically this this barrier that we're trying to push through, right? Get things over the hump and attract more investment. So, for example, Metrolinx has done their own studies and shown that most of the growth in trips is going to be suburb to suburb, but Go Transit as an infrastructure is really still focused on Union, and that's a very large ship to turn very quickly.
Right.
And with the limited resources they have to deal with relieving their own congestion on the existing system and stuff like that. So all of these, you know, from well outside of Toronto to other places well outside of Toronto, you know, it's just a continuing sort of begging routine that can't see really fast results. So if we can prove that those investments are worth it, and we have the powers that be release those resources to these public transit options, that'd be great. If we end up with, you know, high-frequency public transit options between the two cities, that's cool. We'll go do something else. You know, that would be a win.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, you know, suppose you prove demand is so good that the, like, whether it's Metrolinx, whether it's, you know, some sort of agreement between GRT and Guelph Transit, you know, you make the business case for them, and they come in and, you know, effectively end your business. You know, that's a potential end game to this, but it sounds like it's an end game you welcome in a sense.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the kind of response we're going for, you know. There are a lot of places that we can work, you know. It wouldn't be the end of route. You know, that, because as you say, it's the public services that really make the difference for the people who need it most, because by design, they're more affordable. Because as a government, they can step back and say, we're not only recovering the cost of the trip, we're also saving on building new roads and dealing with hospital stays and everything else. They can take a much longer view and a much broader view. So, yeah, if we end up proving to them that investment is worth it, then great.
The other thing I was curious about was if you have experienced or are worried about any sort of blowback from the taxi industry, because I know that the taxi companies and KW were very concerned about the arrival of Uber. Not to say that you are comparable to Uber, but in a sense, you're kind of horning in on that business too, and they're very sensitive about, you know, the regulations that govern them. Have you heard anything from the taxi companies, or are you still kind of under the wire, or are you doing something so completely different that, you know, they're kind of fine with you?
Yeah, the most important thing is that we are doing something quite different. They complement our service. You know, if you have a ticket booked on Root and you're planning on coming to us at either Guelph Central Station or at Fairview Park Mall, and you're running late, you're going to call a cab to make your trip with Root, you know? or if you realize that, okay, well, suddenly I have to get to the other city, I've got to go now, it's worth $60 to pay a taxi to just get me there. Right. But on the way back, I can take my time. I'll combine transit and route, and I'll make my way home at my leisure. We're just trying to fit in the middle, both in pricing and in convenience, in between, you know, a $10 fare for a bus or train a few times a day, or a $60 fare for a taxi or an Uber that goes door to door right now. Mm-hmm. We're sort of in that middle ground.
Right.
So yeah, we're not really here to compete with taxis or with limos. I mean, we don't need to do the prom night or the, you know, any of that stuff. We're trying to do something different. If there's already a viable option for a type of service, we're not here to compete for that. We're trying to fill in gaps.
Right. You're a business person, so obviously you're thinking about what the future of your business looks like. And I'm wondering, are you already sort of itching to expand, and what would that look like? And, you know, maybe what would it, you know, what would the business case be for, you know, because one of the things I'm thinking about is Guelph and Cambridge. You know, it's probably a 10-minute drive between the westernmost edge of Guelph and the easternmost edge of Cambridge, but
right,
there's no public transit option except to go to Kitchener and then take GRT all the way to Cambridge. It seems
exactly
not to tell you how to do your business, but I mean that seems the next logical step. But
yeah, no, exactly. Cambridge has come up a lot. Basically, we wanted to pick a location in Waterloo Region that was as central as possible, and Fairview Park Mall is a massive bus terminal and does have, you know, one trip, no transfer transit connections to most of the three cities.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we started to sort of position ourselves in the middle so that people could take a Grand River Transit bus to Fairway and then take us to Guelph. But yeah, as we grow and as our passengers, like we know where everybody's coming from, and we can take that wisdom of the crowd and connect wherever they need us to. So as you say, other places within Waterloo Region, be it Cambridge or Waterloo, other locations in Guelph, like to the university, for example, there are a lot of options for other destinations within the communities we serve already, as well as all of the communities, you know, beyond that we all want to be connected to. So the downtown Guelph to Fairway terminal seemed to be the best connection to start with, but it's just a start. And the more services we add, the more of a network it becomes, and it actually builds itself up so that if you want to get from some other place to either of these cities, you can connect through and make it a comprehensive service.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk a bit about Root itself, and you talked about having, you know, in terms of the logistics of your drivers, their salary drivers doing full-time work. I know you've done a lot of hiring lately, so what sets someone who drives for Root apart, and what do you guys look for when you're hiring drivers?
Well, it's primarily a customer service position, so obviously you have to be a safe driver and licensed and insurable and clean criminal record check and all that good stuff. But once you've satisfied the regulations and the insurance, our focus is on the customer service. So we want people who are going to go above and beyond and treat our passengers with respect, make sure their issues get not just heard but actually addressed. So, you know, that's an important piece. Another piece is that most of our positions are blended between driving and an administrative function. So whether you're in marketing or, you know, in, you know, bookkeeping or whatever, you're doing your desk job as well as driving. So in the periods of really high demand on the road, you're out on the road, or if you have a big project at your desk, you're going to hand off your driving for other people to pick up. So it means that everybody can get their 40 hours a week, and everybody can take home the same pay every pay period. So that's something that we're trying to do a little bit differently as well.
Mm-hmm. On the other side, for passengers, what do you want passengers to know when they book a route and when they take route? What's sort of the I'm not sure what the word I'm thinking of is, but you know, what's the expectation from the passenger or for the passenger?
Well, we actually have a blog post on our website that is, you know, all of the things you should know before you ride with us. Mm-hmm. So that's a good resource for people to see before they take their first trip. But really, you know, we want to make it the high frequency is the key. We want to be convenient so that, you know, if there's a trip that's full or if your plans change, you know, you don't have to build your day around how you're getting from place to place. You're just going to fit us into your day. Mm. So that's an important piece. We're also going to be boarding up to 2 bicycles for free on every trip. Mm. We have hitch-mounted bike racks. So if you say, I'm familiar with my home transit system, I'm not going to figure out the other one, I'm just going to go bring my bike and complete my trip on my bike. You know, if you're a seasoned cyclist and you love the trails in Guelph, but you want to see how the Iron Horse Trail or the Spurline Trail in KW are to bike up and down, you can just come do that. So, you know, we want to make that true. If you combine route as well as the Ion LRT, then with a few minutes of cycling on either end, you can get anywhere in Kitchener-Waterloo and Cambridge to anywhere else without any emissions, just by combining cycling and transit and route.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you mentioned your website, because I was looking at the website, and there's a lot of, I think, what a lot of people would call very ambitious discussion about in terms of what one service in two cities can do to sort of change or to sort of address global challenges. And I'm wondering, can you talk about your philosophy there in terms of how you think route fits into that dynamic in terms of, like, just, you know, how does driving between Guelph and Kitchener all day in an electric car sort of I guess lead to a better world?
Yeah, I mean, you have to start somewhere, so it's a bit of that you know, think global, act local kind of philosophy, but we are founded on the principle of doing something about climate change. That is really why we're here. So if there are passengers who, you know, for whom that's not their priority, and they're worried about affordability or health or any number of other issues that are important in the world, great, we'll take them. They can accidentally address climate change along the way. but we just want to provide that service, and to some extent it sets an example, but also we're happy to grow and continue to replicate the model elsewhere as it succeeds.
Mm-hmm. So if we were to have a conversation this time next year, where do you think route will be?
I think we will probably have a number of additional routes, and instead of having just a line on a map, we'll have a bit of a network. And I think people will be incorporating it into their daily lives. You know, if they want to combine all of their options, that's really how to be a smart passenger. So if they say, you know what, a couple times a day, the train or the bus happens to work out, and that's perfect for me, but to get back, I don't want to wait hours to get home. I'm going to use route to make it all work. That's exactly the kind of role we want to play, where we're making the system more robust. We're not trying to take over the system.
Well, I wish you luck. Thank you so much for your time today, and best of luck on out there in the route.
Thanks, Adam. Take care.
And once again, that was Jason Hammond, the president of Root. To learn more about Root or to book a trip on Root, you can find out all about it on their website at root.com. That's WROUTE.com. And that's it for this week's edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics, Ed Sid Dale. The host for the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes. And while you're there, you can also listen to Open Source's Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. And if you're interested in the Guelph candidates for the municipal election, you should be downloading the Open Sources podcast for the next couple of weeks. We will have short interviews with with council candidates and hour-long interviews with the mayoral candidates, and you can find all that on the Guelph Politicast channel right now. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. You can go to the Guelph Politico Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph, and you can donate to Guelph Politico on Patreon at patreon.com/guelphpolitico, or you can find out other options at guelphpolitico.ca/donate. If you like locally sourced independent media in the city of Guelph, please consider donating. And thank you to all the new subscribers who came on board in the last week. Your donations are very much appreciated. For all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca, where we will have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, see you next time.